This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Randy Conan and Tyler Donaldson. The weather system that's been hitting the central part of America is moving further east, with the center of the low pressure system sitting around the Nebraska-Iowa border. Aberdeen National Weather Service meteorologist Megan Mulford says that the southern Red River Valley should see some more snow today before the system passes through.
Aberdeen is kind of on that western extent the past few days. This whole system has moved off towards the east where the heavier snow will fall. We got around 3.3 inches yesterday, so we could see another half inch to an inch if it does move a little bit farther off. But yeah, and it looks like mainly James River Valley and eastward is going to see more additional snow for today. It looks like Watertown area could see anywhere from 3 to 4 inches. Near kind of the northern parts of the Coteau into the Sisseton Hills, we could see another 6 to 7 inches of snow.
Eastern South Dakota continues to see mixes of snow and rain from the large weather system that's crossing the Midwest. Sioux Falls National Weather Service meteorologist Matthew Myers warns that wind gusts up to 40 miles an hour are hitting the area, and that blowing snow is a visibility concern.
We are going to be seeing winds increase. Right now they're a little strong. We had a gust up to around 30 miles per hour about 20 minutes ago in Sioux Falls. But we'll be seeing those winds increase out of the northwest this evening and night. And with those gusts getting up to around 40 or so miles per hour, we'll be seeing some blowing snow potential in our area at least through at least the morning hours tomorrow before the system finally pushes off to the northeast and exits our area.
Temperatures are expected to warm a little by the weekend, but Myers warns that a couple of smaller systems could hit parts of the Red River Valley.
We do have some repeated light chances for some precipitation. It looks like it's a bit stronger or higher on Sunday with 30-40% chance for some potential rain snow again on Sunday. Saturday looks to be not as bad. You know, maybe some stuff will be a little bit closer up to your way over there on Grand Forks, but for Sioux Falls, we look to be mostly dry for the day on Saturday.
The upper Midwest storm will continue through tomorrow morning. World Weather Incorporated says snowfall totals in western South Dakota reached 12 inches and 8 inches in western North Dakota, and more than 10 inches from central through northeastern Minnesota. 8 to 12 inches of snow fell from Minneapolis into the north half of Wisconsin. Northeastern North Dakota and northern Minnesota reported little to no precipitation.
The European Green Deal has been put on an indefinite hold following relentless farmer protests across the EU. According to an Associated Press article, this bill would have aimed for the EU to be the first climate-neutral continent by 2050. Concessions had been made on some agriculture issues already, and a majority vote was expected. Hungary changed its vote at the last minute to prevent that passage.
Midwest Council on Agriculture visited Washington, D.C. last week. Council member and North Dakota Grain Growers Association Executive Director Kayla Pulvermacher says that though the farm bill dominated discussions, don't expect one anytime soon.
Anyone that would like to put money on that right now would be risking the farm at this point. Discussions with the Senate tend to be a little bit less enthusiastic, while with the House, they're really interested in getting one done. I think now getting closer to the election, seeing one beforehand is pretty iffy. But after the election, I think looking into 2025, we're a lot more realistic in terms of getting a farm bill.
Pulvermacher said this being an election year doesn't help with getting a farm bill done.
For anybody that's running for re-election, getting a farm bill would be great. But for those that are looking to maybe defeat someone, not getting a farm bill is probably the best solution for them. But so at this point, getting one is pretty iffy before the election. So we'll probably be looking at one early 2025 at this point, I think.
A survey of 16 analytical firms by the Wall Street Journal estimates that the average U.S. stocks of corn as of March 1st at 8.43 billion bushels. That compares to 7.4 billion bushels a year ago. Soybean stocks are estimated at 1.8 billion bushels, up from 1.7 billion a year ago. Wheat stocks as of March 1st are estimated to be at 1.05 billion bushels, up from 941 million last year.
A survey of 17 analytical firms by the Wall Street Journal estimates the average corn planted acreage in Thursday's USDA planting intentions report to be 92 million acres, down from last year's 94.6 million acres. Soybean planting intentions are expected at 86.3 million acres, up from 83.6 million a year ago. Spring wheat acreage is expected to be 10.9 million acres, down from 11.2 million a year ago. Durum acreage is expected to remain steady at 1.67 million acres.
AgMarket.net analyst Jacob Burks says the grains are seeing mostly technical type of trades.
Seeing some choppiness back and forth will probably be the story here this week. I mean, if you go back and look for 2 weeks, we've had some, a little bit of volatility into this market, and we're seeing these the 50-day moving average hold since we broke through there and closed above it. We've stayed above it. The 10-day moving average is running right along the side there. We crossed there, so some technical support with where we're at. We saw a 20-cent range here between overnight and into to today, and so I think right now that just choppiness is kind of the way that we're going to end up looking.
And the livestock market has been two-sided.
That's been kind of a head fake here. We've seen this on several occasions. The term of buy the rumor, sell the fact. Or in this case, it was sell the rumor, buy the fact. And we sold off into to that on-feed report here on Friday. We get the report, and it confirmed what we thought and what we anticipated, seeing a very large number come into place in the feedlots across the country. You look at what the market traded it. It came in here. We opened up $2 lower. Went all the way down to $2.48 in the feeder cattle, a dollar or something lower in the live cattle. And since then, we rebounded.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Lowen and Associates market analyst Matt Hines says traders are covering short positions ahead of Thursday's reports.
Definitely higher here this morning. And we're sharply lower, of course, in the bean market on Friday, but bouncing back, getting most of those gains back. Wheat actually was higher most of the week and continues to build upon that as well. Corn's been actually the choppiest here the past few weeks, but, we bottomed out back in, around the 26th of February, so we've almost got a good month higher, and, I think it's going to be pretty choppy, quiet trade, probably leading up to Thursday's reports.
The livestock markets are firming after the initial reaction lower to Friday's cattle on feed report.
Cattle opened sharply lower. Of course, that was a reaction to the cattle on feed report that came out on Friday. Cattle on feed itself wasn't that bearish, right in line with estimates. Slightly higher, but only 1% above a year ago. It was a placements number again. February placements, 110% versus last year. Average trade estimate was only 106.3. So, we shot sharply lower, but right now we've kind of stabilized, and we've got at least deferred live cattle in the green, and most of the feeder contracts actually starting to trade in the green territory as well.
Frequent rains will fall across central Brazil this week, improving soil moisture for the Safrina corn crop. World Weather Incorporated says the rains will diminish Friday through April 8th, but regular rounds of rain should prevent the region from rapidly drying out. Rains are expected to return to southern Brazil next Sunday and continue through April 8th, but World Weather says more rains will be needed to support the Safrina crop during the coming dry season.
USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending March 21st shows corn inspections at 1.2 million metric tons. That's 7% less than the previous week, but 78% more than the same week a year ago. Soybean inspections at 769,000 tons are 10% more than the previous week, but 14% less than a year ago. Wheat inspections, 315,000 metric tons, are 20% less than the previous week and 22% less than the same week last year. For the marketing year, corn inspections are running 33% ahead of last year's pace. Soybeans and wheat inspections are 18% and 15% behind last year's pace, respectively.
Spring will be here before we know it. NDSU Extension agricultural engineer Ken Hellevang says it's important to pay attention to moisture levels of stored grain as temperatures rise.
So typically that means something in the neighborhood of 14% on corn, 11 to 12% moisture for soybeans, and of course 13% for wheat. We got to remember also that not only are outside temperatures going to be warming, but we have solar heat gain on our grain bin, and that'll warm the grain near the bin wall and particularly on the top of the bin to temperatures that are much above outdoor temperatures. Now is the time that we need to make sure that we're at a safe moisture content.
Allowable storage time started to accumulate last fall, just after harvest. Hellevang says grain quality will start to decline as that time runs out. Higher temperatures and moisture often means a shorter period grain can be stored.
It may not mean that we have a totally spoiled bin of grain, but that there will be some mold growth and some deterioration. That starts from the day we harvest it, and so it's important right away last fall to be either drying the grain or cooling the grain, and it's an accumulative event. So if we've used up a quarter of its storage life at this point, when we start looking at our tables of allowable storage time, we have to remember that we've used a quarter, so there's only three quarters of that value left.
SDSU Extension is teaming up with other South Dakota groups to research the nutritional value and mineral content of native forb plants in the state's rangelands. The project aims to benefit livestock nutrition, wildlife habitats, and promote pollinator populations. According to SDSU Extension Range Field Specialist and Project Manager Kaylee Wheeler, the group venture will highlight the importance of plant diversity on soil health and carbon capture. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. University of Minnesota Regional Extension Educator Anthony Hansen says mild temperatures this winter may lead to heavier insect pressure this growing season.
Many years in Minnesota, we often rely on our cold winters to kind of hold back the tide from a lot of either invasive insects we have or push back from the ones that do live here. But this year, with it being this mild, a lot of our insects that we take a look at as kind of our key profile ones probably aren't going to have much mortality, if any, at all this winter, at least due to overwintering mortality. So that's going to be something we'll keep an eye on for any scouting coming up here in the future, because there could be some heavy insect pressure potentially this year because of that.
Natural predators of some pests may also overwinter well. Hansen says it's difficult, though, to estimate exactly what the insect pressure may be like this growing season, as kill temperatures can vary. Insect pressure trends may also be shifting, much like growing zones in the U.S.
Think about 2019. We had that polar vortex that was pretty heavy there, and we had a lot of mortality with some of our insects like soybean aphid. And you know, that's when we were getting to about negative 30 across central Minnesota. And we do need those nights in Minnesota when we get down to negative 30 to really start to see a lot of help from our cold there. So we get just a few degrees off of that, and we start seeing mortality drop off pretty quick for some of these insects. So sometimes it only takes a few degrees sometimes in the winter for our absolute minimum temperature. So it's kind of like our plant hardiness zone maps. Those ones have changed a little bit over the last 10 years or so, and it's kind of going to be the same situation for some of our insects. Some might be showing up more often in some of our winters now with the current average winter temperatures we're dealing with.
Looking at markets before we leave you, Minneapolis May wheat down 4¾ cents at 656¼. September down 3½ at 669. Chicago wheat a penny and a half lower at 553¼. Kansas City down 3¼ at 587¼. May corn futures a penny and 3/4 lower at 437½. July also a penny and 3/4 lower. December corn down a penny and a quarter at 474. Soybeans May futures 14½ cents higher at 1207. August soybeans 13¼ higher at 1216. And November soybeans 9¾ higher at 1196¾. April live cattle down $1.17. April lean hogs 25 cents higher. This is the Red River Farm Network.